curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am Carla Solins, and I'm super excited to be here today. We have a guest in the house. Ron is not with us today, but he has picked a great person to represent his podcast today on a topic that I'm really interested to hear her talk about. And it came at a perfect time because we're getting ready for election season here in Michigan. And I really want to ask Ron whether he thought that Sarah was the perfect fill-in for him on this one, because I know that this issue is something that he feels passionate about, but also sometimes gets very frustrated about. So we're going to be talking with Sarah about how to engage debates without losing civility. But before we dive into that media topic, I want to take a minute and just tell you a little bit about Sarah and have an opportunity for her to introduce herself as well. So for those of you that don't know, Sarah Mansberger is a part of the team at Southwest Michigan First, and she is the head of our leadership and organizational development team. So she has an opportunity to go out and work with organizations and companies, not just here in Southwest Michigan, but also across the United States, helping them work on their own leadership development within those companies and corporate culture and those types of things. So Sarah, is there anything else you want the listening audience to know about you before I start pinging you with some questions about how to handle civility?
What a light topic today, Carla. I appreciate the warm introduction. I'm thrilled to be here today. As Carla mentioned, I have the great pleasure and opportunity to work with a lot of different leaders and leadership teams, both locally here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and outside the state. And as we launch into this political season, civility, oh my, what a topic.
Yeah, so let's just dive in, Sarah, because you and I have had a lot of conversations just between the two of us as good friends and business partners on this topic, and just kind of how you can feel at this time of the year. And just curious, I know you've given me a lot of advice as I've struggled to handle just the craziness that can come with this time of year. So kick it off for us, Sarah. What are you talking about when you're talking about engaging debates without losing civility? What does that even mean?
Oh, that's such a great question, Carla. I mean, you know, right now, of course, we're all focused on politics, but really, I think there's so many lessons here that extend to our lives as leaders and in organizational life. I mean, certainly on the political stage, so often we think in terms of two, right? My side versus the other side, two camps. Sometimes we think a little bit more broadly, but really our politics are so, you know, A or B, and the discussions can be so polarizing. And we sort of pick our camps and pick our sides and get entrenched. And I think the topic of civility is a really challenging one, a really rich one. And I think there's certainly resonance from what we see in political life to how that plays out in the workplace, and just some good lessons overall about reminders about what it means to have difference of opinion, difference of life experience.
Yeah, and we kicked it off, and it's ironic that it's coming out, you know, here, this podcast is released here in Michigan, you know, right before the election, but this really extends way beyond the election. I mean, civility is not just about how you handle yourself in political debates, but it comes up with lots of things that just happen in everyday life. I mean, I know for you and I, there's been parenting issues and debates of like, is this the right way to do things? Is that the right way to do things? And you can find yourself debating about choices, environmental topics. I mean, the list goes on and on of the type of debates that you could get into either at work or with others, not at work, and why civility in those conversations is so important. Now, in today's society, I think that one of the interesting things about civility is that those conversations aren't always in person. So how does the wonderful World Wide Web impact this issue of civility and the ability to engage in a healthy way?
That's a great question, Carla. You know, I think it's something we're all still learning about. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of people, the experience is negative, especially on social media. We live in our echo chambers. And sometimes we have a troll who comes into our echo chamber, right? Somebody with a differing political viewpoint who can pick a fight, right? Sometimes you hear the term our keyboard warrior, right? Somebody who's there out to prove a point. And it can be hard to know How do I react? Do I engage? Do I disengage? Do I address behavior directly? It can be really tricky, and people really have to figure out for themselves, right? Is this an area where I want to announce myself politically, where I want to share a strong opinion, or is this a place where I prefer to have a different mode of interaction, knowing that this is part of the dynamic, right? People can be very willing to share some strong language in part because they're cloaked, right? Even if we can tie language back to a person, we're not sharing viewpoints in person with each other, right? We're behind a keyboard, and we know we've seen these experiences, had them personally, seen other people maybe feel attacked, be attacked. But when we're behind that keyboard or someone else is behind that keyboard, we don't have to deal with the consequence of a strong opinion in person. Certainly changes the dynamic.
So we all know that a civil conversation is really a conversation that's free of anger, is really intended to be educational on both sides, so that you're sharing your point of view, trying to hopefully come up with some common values and potentially make a consensus, although we know a lot of times people don't necessarily change their stance in these conversations. But I want to talk about, you know, how do you actually get there? Because that sounds well and good. Like, sure, we're going to have a civil conversation that's anger-free, educational, and we find some common values. But I know you have some techniques that you kind of have thought about and have expressed to others outside of this podcast, but we're willing to share with the podcast listeners on how to actually keep things civil. Because you always start out with the intention, well, most people start out with the intention of keeping things civil. What are the techniques to actually do that in this conversation?
Sure. I want to really focus on offline conversation, good old-fashioned face-to-face interaction. I think the whole world of online, especially political debate, is so charged. But I want to think specifically about interpersonal dynamics. You know, if you're going into a conversation and approaching a hot-button topic like politics, especially in 2018, these are some divisive times. Number one, know what you're getting into, right? Know that you're getting into a conversation that could become divisive and be very aware that that's where we are right now. And do so then with respect, right? So if you know that you're coming into a conversation about a hot button topic like something political, and you're going to be engaging with somebody who likely does not share your viewpoint, what is your end game in that conversation, right? What is your end game? So often it's easy to get into that zone where we say, I'm going to now convince you of something. My challenge is always to think about how might we engage each other in ways that honor what both people bring to the table, that is respectful of both people's perspectives and life experiences and their viewpoints. And sometimes that's where it gets really hard, right? What you might perceive as something neutral, I might perceive as something very disrespectful to me, to an aspect of my experience, of my view, of my identity. And this is where, again, you have to know you're getting into territory where you have to really prioritize the health of the dialogue of the relationship.
I really like that, Sarah, because I think that too often you haphazardly end up in a conversation that you sometimes didn't even intend to start, but always going, knowing that whenever something starts to get divisive like that, kind of having that, you know, what is my end game in mind helps you to get out. Because sometimes the conversation, the hard part is that you don't get out fast enough of a conversation that you see kind of going downhill, or you start to get emotionally charged about a person's response or, you know, their side of the issue. And then before you know it, it does kind of become a competition of who knows more facts and who can persuade who. And that doesn't always respect that relationship, as you said, like the fact that you want that relationship to leave whole and healthy after a good, healthy conversation or debate. So I know you had more than just respect. So lead us on into what else we can do in terms of techniques when engaging in these types of debates.
Sure. And I want to just remind everyone that we're thinking about this in terms of these conversations in the workplace, right? These conversations in the workplace. And so respect, absolutely. Avoid getting suckered into debates that are going to go nowhere, right? Whether online, offline, whatever the case might be, you know what those likely circumstances are going to be. I would say avoid it, right? Avoid it. When you can, look for common ground, especially when we're thinking about in the workplace. These are relationships that we have to preserve over the long haul, and we want to be in a place where we can be productive with one another and maintain a sense of respect for each other, not just in conversation, but after the conversation is over as well. And so if you're starting to get into territory that maybe you didn't intend, or you go, oh gosh, this is going into a zone that I think is going to lead us both into a place where this is going to threaten our relationship, where is a place where you can bring it back to common ground and maybe exit that topic, exit that conversation so that you know you can preserve that relationship for yourself and for the sake of being productive coworkers going forward. And of course, listening, right? And that comes with the caveat. You know, we have to listen. And this is where it's really tricky, right? There are certain issues for people that I can't listen anymore. I have to say something, right? I can't just listen. I feel as though if I'm just listening, I'm in a position that is undermining myself, right? Know what those things are for you. And especially in the workplace, that might not be a place you want to go in conversation. You know, it's really tricky in these, again, just really divisive times. How do we both honor and respect what we need in our interactions and also maintain healthy relationships in the workplace so that we can be, again, coworkers over the long haul?
So, Sarah, one of the things that we both have in common is the background in Gallup StrengthsFinder. And I think it's kind of important to bring out, and this is nothing directly correlated with strengths, but just to know that the individual that you might be engaging with may have a different tolerance level for conflict in general. Mm-hmm. And that for some people, you might be in a very, what you consider a very healthy debate, and you're expressing your viewpoint, and another person on the opposite side could feel really uneasy about that interaction, and kind of always being very aware of what the body language is of the person that you're engaging with. And as you said, listening and really being, if you're going to be in those conversations, you have to be really emotionally prepared to be in that conversation for your own self, keeping yourself in check, but also being able to really observe the behavior of others, because not everyone has the same tolerance or comfort level with debate in general. Conflict can make some people really uncomfortable off the get-go, even if the person on the other side is actually handling it in a pretty healthy way.
Absolutely, Carly. I mean, that's such an important point. And, you know, especially right now, the personal is political, the political is personal, right? You may, for example, if you're somebody who is, you know, you like debate, you like to get into it. To your point, you know, reading someone else's body language, is this a conversation that that person actually wants to be part of? Or are you pushing someone inadvertently into a space where they don't want to go, or vice versa, right? And again, just listening with your ears, but listening with your eyes as well, really observing, as you say, that other person's behavior and knowing, is this a place that we can go in conversation? Again, what's the end game and how are we honoring what both people bring to the interaction?
So in closing, Sarah, I have a question for you, and I hate to put you on the spot like this, but is our kind of thought process here that people should just avoid political conversations and these kind of touchy conversations at work altogether?
Oh, Carla, you know, I'm going to leave the final answer on that one to people far smarter than I. I know this, okay? Regardless of whether you try to avoid political dialogue completely or you are just a political animal and you can't wait to get into it with people, we know talk about politics happens at work. We know that it does. And so when I think about, you know, really where are we going in this dialogue together, number one, politics will come up at work. So it's important, number one, to know where you stand. What is also your position in the organization? Because your level of influence, you have to be very mindful of what your position is and what your level of influence is, particularly if and when, not if, but when politics comes up, right? Number two, really know what are hot buttons for you as a point of policy, as something that might be policy to someone, but that's actually your life story for you, right? What are some of those hot buttons that can be triggering for you based on whatever it is that you bring to the table in terms of your life story? And so, you know, when we start to get into these political conversations, either get out if that's not where you want to go, or if you choose to engage, a couple of things. Again, be aware of your position, be aware of silence, right? Just because we are going somewhere in conversation with somebody doesn't mean it's equal, It doesn't mean that if you're speaking and someone else is offering something, that they're really offering the depth of their view. Beware of silence and what you don't know about somebody. And I think to offer anything, it would be to be prepared with some caution, right? Because we want to make sure that, especially if you are feeling, you get into the heat of the moment with somebody, and especially if there's silence on the other side, or maybe it's not reciprocal, you know, being mindful what's happening in that moment and what is the downstream effect of one conversation. Because we know our workplaces are a grand experiment, really, in a collection of different viewpoints and people from different walks of life. And we want to make sure that we can continue to be partners together in a workplace that can be whole even after the political season is over.
So, Sarah, thank you so much for being here with us today, being on the Ron Kitchen's Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I know he threw a topic at you that is tricky to navigate, and I feel like you did so with such grace and wisdom, and we just appreciate your insights. And I hope that our listening audience walks away with a little bit more tactics on not only why this issue is so relevant in today's society and in leadership in today's society, but also with a few nuggets of wisdom on how to not only handle your own self in the workplace, but how to coach others in the workplace on how to handle this very sensitive issue of engaging in debates without losing your civility.
Carla, thanks for being such a civil interviewer.
You're very welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.